biblical understanding. Sometimes the most foundational, even elementary topics can be difficult to understand. So how do we grab a spiritual understanding to these things that are so crucial to our relationship with Christ? Welcome to Transforming Conversations with Pastor Rock Dilliman. With over 30 years of ministry, preaching, and biblical study, Pastor Rock discusses biblical topics that bring them into a fresh new light that is easy to understand and apply to our lives. And now, your host for another Transforming Conversation, Greg Hughes.
Well, this is going to be a good conversation, Pastor Rock.
I hope it is, or else we're going to bore people to death.
Because I'm going to throw something at you that seems a little... It seems very parallel and almost meaning the same thing. Joy versus happiness. And I know there is a little bit of a difference, but for some reason in my mind, I equate the two too much. And I really would like to unpack the joy as Scripture is referring versus happy as I know it and understand it and experience it.
All right, well, joy and happiness are not the same thing. Joy can produce happiness. In fact, it should. But happiness will not produce joy. So let me unpack that.
Yeah.
Our word happiness comes from an Old English word, hap. And the Old English word hap referred to a person's circumstances. So in Old English, if your circumstances were good, you were healthy, you were employed, there was food on the table.
Kids were happy.
You were considered happy because your circumstances were pleasant. If your circumstance was unpleasant, you were referred to as unhappy. So happiness has to do with circumstances, some of which we control, many of which are beyond our control.
Right.
The economy's bad. I don't control that. That's an unhappy circumstance.
Right.
But happiness is based upon circumstances or conditions. Joy, as God talks about joy, is a deep-seated, abiding sense of well-being at the deepest level, at the soul level, because you are in a right relationship with God. You are at peace with God. You are one with Christ. You are indwelt by the Spirit of God. God has begun a good work in you. He's promised he won't leave you or forsake you. He's promised that nothing will separate you from his love. He's promised that whatever's happening in your life, it won't derail the ultimate purposes he has for you. He's promised that he'll one day return for you. He's promised you a resurrection. He's promised you a restored body. He's promised you a glorious eternity, all because you are righteous, which is a legal term, meaning you are in a right relationship with God through the grace of God and the sacrifice and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So joy is that deep sense of well-being that is permanent. Circumstances don't change it. So you can have cancer, but you can still have the joy of the Lord.
Right.
You can lose your job, but still have the joy of the Lord, because the joy of the Lord is all about your eternal, permanent, guaranteed, right relationship with God. Happiness is about the fickle, fleeting, changing circumstances of life in a broken, fallen creation. So, a believer can be unhappy because of a tragic or painful development.
Right.
For example, 8 months ago, when my daughter died before her 39th birthday, That was not a happy moment. I didn't experience happiness.
Right.
I was unhappy, but I never lost the joy of the Lord, meaning I still had that sense that I was right with God and that God was with me and that God was grieving with me and right. that God cared about me and that I had not lost my eternal destiny, God's presence, the leadership of the Holy Spirit, or God's grace.
Right, right.
So you can be know the joy of the Lord when you're unhappy. And it's not a sin to be unhappy.
Right.
In fact, it means you're paying attention sometimes. If you've lost your job, you shouldn't be happy. Right. You're not going to go home and say, "Let's eat out tonight, kids. I got great news. I just got fired." How do I know it's not a sin to be unhappy? Because God says to believers, mourn with those who mourn.
Right, right.
He doesn't say, correct those who mourn.
Right.
He says, join them. You know, rejoice with those who rejoice in the body and mourn with those who mourn.
Right.
Says he's able to wipe away our tears. He's with us in our sorrows. It says many are the afflictions.
Right.
But it also says count it all joy when you endure various trials. Now notice,
wow,
be happy. He doesn't say be happy when you encounter various trials.
No.
He says count it all joy, meaning when you're going through unhappy moments, difficult moments in life, physical pain, emotional pain, financial loss, relational loss. God doesn't call you to be happy, do your happy dance. But God says you don't have to lose your joy because that sense of well-being that comes from being right with God, that hasn't changed.
Right, right.
And the knowledge that even in your affliction, God is able to work out his eternal purposes in you just as he promised. The knowledge of that sustains your joy.
Right.
So count it all joy isn't be happy. Hey, I got cancer. Let's be happy.
Right.
Somebody just T-boned me and I'm going to be laid up in traction for 8 months. Let's be happy. No.
Right.
No, no. That's insanity. I mean, that's what it is. God didn't say be happy. He says count it all joy.
Right.
Meaning, in the midst of the affliction that produces unhappiness, you're still right with God, and God's got to do right by you.
Right.
Because even in affliction, as the writer goes on to say, God will show you where maybe you've had some false props under your sense of spiritual well-being.
Right.
God can show you where maybe you've been counting on God and some other things that are less than God. Or God can show you new expressions of his power, his love, his grace. I mean, when my wife was going through chemo, she came to a deeper understanding of God's love for her because she read Johnny Erickson Tada's book. You know, Johnny is the woman who translated a diving accident that left her paraplegic for life into a vibrant ministry to those who are suffering. And she read Johnny's book where Johnny said she realized God not only wept for her, but he wept with her. And so in the midst of the occasional hurling and the weakness that accompanies chemotherapy, God led my wife to a new appreciation of him weeping with her and the depths of his love for her. So we don't lose our joy when we're unhappy, because joy and happiness are two different things. Instead, our joy sustains us when we're unhappy, so that we don't allow our unhappiness, which is not a sin,
right,
to become a seedbed of discontent with God, an occasion for arguing with life, a root of bitterness, disillusionment.
Right, right.
Comparing our lot with somebody else, questioning the fairness of God.
Right.
Because you start down those paths, you begin to lose the joy of the Lord.
Right.
So when you most need the strength that comes from God's joy, if you don't deal with your unhappiness in a godly fashion, you begin to lose the joy that is your strength. So there's a great difference between joy and happiness. Watching your kid hit a home run will make you happy. Getting a raise will make you happy. But that's not the joy of the Lord. Losing a family member will make you unhappy. That doesn't mean you've lost the joy of the Lord. They're very, very different. And one of the dangers of being a believer in this American culture is that we're taught early on it's all about life, liberty, and the pursuit of
happiness.
Mm-hmm.
Not so
rather
much.
Than the experience of the joy of the Lord. So they are very different. It's not a sin to be unhappy. On many occasions, it means you're paying attention and you haven't lost your mind,
right,
and you have a firm grip of reality.
Right. Just hearing you unpack this, this elementary topic that, you know, should be so clear to all of us is, now it's amazingly clear. I have a friend, Pastor Rock, who is in the very situation you said, a believer.
Mm-hmm.
Situations and circumstances in their life is not where they want them to be, is not where they'd like to be, and they are now disillusioned that God has somehow turned his back, somehow, you know, caused
because they've
this.
Judged the heart of God based on unhappy circumstances in a broken and
right.
fallen world, where nobody gets a free pass, where Jesus said, you'll have tribulation.
Right.
You'll have sorrow. And you're not getting out alive.
That's right.
And you're not getting out unscathed.
Right.
So that's so tragic when that happens, because it's so unnecessary. And it comes from confusing two things. Happiness and joy.
Right.
But it also comes from confusing the circumstances of your life with the character of God. They are not the same thing.
They're not the same thing, no.
They're not the same thing.
I know how to more effectively pray for this person, though.
Yeah, you see, a lot of times we think somebody in that scenario, the answer is a new job or restored health or whatever.
Right.
But that really isn't the ultimate answer, because if God gave them back everything they lost, something bad will happen around the next corner. This is a broken creation. Stuff happens.
Right.
And they'll be right back in the same scenario.
Right.
What they most need, and what we most, when I see somebody in that scenario, I don't primarily pray job, health, whatever. I pray for discernment. I pray, God, give them understanding. Help them to see the difference between joy and happiness and pain and your presence, because they are not synonymous.
No. No.
And their circumstances are not indicative of God's character. If anything, painful circumstances in this world affirm the narrative of Scripture that this world is not the one God intended.
Right.
And so we need somebody who is with us even when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, who is bigger than us.
Right, yeah.
So the best way for you to pray for your friend is help him to see the difference. Help him to understand pain is not betrayal. This world is not heaven. Disappointment is not a character flaw in the heart of God. And give him discernment.
Right.
Because if he doesn't get discernment, even if God gave him everything he wanted, at the very next pothole, he'd be right back
didn't
in the lose same any, place.
I mean, didn't learn anything.
Right.
And that gives that scripture a whole new meaning, where I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Understanding who I am in Christ and my right standing.
Yeah, if you know you're right with God,
right,
it gives you strength to deal with your unhappiness.
Right.
But it doesn't give you the authority to remove it.
Right.
Look, if being a follower of Jesus meant everything went perfectly in your life, if believers never lost jobs, all lived in affluence, never got sick, died at age 98, by going to sleep and just not waking up, never found themselves in a divorce court.
Right.
Never had anybody treat them badly. Never got involved in automobile accidents. On and on and on. Hey, everybody be signing
everybody
up.
Everybody be saved. Absolutely.
But they wouldn't be signing up for God.
They'd be signing up for circumstances.
They'd be signing up for circumstances.
That's great stuff.
So I would say, after saying there's a difference between joy and circumstances, let me muddy the waters. Since you said I brought clarity, I need to correct that. Let me muddy the waters by suggesting this. In a very real sense, joy is also circumstantially grounded, because joy is the abiding sense of well-being that comes from the circumstance, the hap, the experience of being right with God.
You're right, it's muddy.
Yeah, see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All right. Happiness, circumstantial. Joy, relational.
Right.
But joy is also circumstantial in the sense that when my circumstance is that I've been born again and Christ dwells in me, that brings joy.
Amen. Well, let's leave that for those to figure out.
It's all in the Bible. That's why it's good to read it and good to know it.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you, sir, for your time.
Thank you, Greg.